Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. Welcome to Good Morning Football, everybody. We're live in New York City, Thursday, January 13th. My name is Kay Adams. Thank you so much for choosing us this morning ahead of Super Wild Card Weekend. Peter Schrager is here. Kyle Prent in the building. And Maurice Jones-Drew, as he calls himself, Indiana Jones-Drew.
Yeah. Just, you know, been hanging out in the cold.
Yeah.
It's been freezing here. Like, no one talks about that.
No one talks about the weather.
How cold it can get here, though. Like, I would think cold is like Minnesota, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Like, no, New York City. Mm-hmm. Has its own little, you know,
I want to ask you how old you are, but I don't think you'll catch on to the joke and say old enough to party.
I'm pretty old.
See?
I know
you
didn't catch on to the joke.
Well, you already said the punchline, so there's nothing for me to say.
Muhammad is the most popular name on Earth.
Read a book.
We all know that.
We are here. Great T-shirt time for the
lead block.
Super Wild Card Weekend. A wild beginning of the show there. Sunday, guys. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles take on the defending champions. Tom Brady and the Bucks down in Tampa. Hey, Mike Garafolo, he's always dressed to impress, and he's got the latest on this big matchup.
Thank you, Kay. Well, rainy and windy conditions expected in Tampa on Sunday, and that could favor the Eagles in their matchup with the Buccaneers, because this has been a run-heavy offense ever since the first time that these two teams met. That was back in Week 6, and remember, that was a Thursday night game, and Eagles coach Nick Sirianni had said going into the game that they were going to use that weekend as a mini-buy, a chance to self-scout and figure out who they are as a team and as an offense. Well, they figured out that they are a running team, because since that week, they have not been held under 100 yards rushing in any game, and they had 5 games where they were over 200 yards on the ground. So Tampa knows what the Eagles are going to do, what their path to victory is. It's to come in, run the football, give them some looks with Jalen Hurts, have them worry about his running ability, and perhaps on a sloppy day, get themselves an upset victory. As for the Buccaneers, one note, Ronald Jones, the running back, he is doubtful for Sunday, according to Bruce Arians. But Leonard Fournette, back to practice, perhaps could carry the load once again in the postseason for Tampa.
Appreciate you, Mike. That one at Raymond James at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox. So thank you, Mike. Obviously, Brady and the Bucs, a tough matchup for the Eagles. Philly finished the season strong, though, 7-3 since Week 8. Impressive numbers in the ground game. Slight catch, they only played one playoff team in that span. So this is a Fugazi situation. We'll talk about it here. The Cowboys in Week 18 were that team, and they lost, but they were resting some starters as well, including Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. It's real interesting and compelling, this matchup. Are the Eagles a real threat in the NFC, or did they benefit from a nice schedule late in the season?
You know, it's funny. Being here in the cold, I don't leave my hotel room, and I get a chance to just kind of scroll Instagram, and I kind of went over one of our colleagues, Brian Baldinger, who was breaking down the Eagles versus the Bucs. And in the first half, I want to say he said they had 6 rushes. In the second half, they obviously ran more. He was showing kind of Kelce and the offensive line create seams and Miles Sanders run. I am like, okay, the Niners are number one on my list of upset. The Eagles are number two.
Okay.
Because they have a running quarterback. They have a offensive line that can push guys around. You have a running game that can be explosive, and that's all you need in the playoffs. Look, these guys can break runs. And this isn't that Week 6 matchup. And they got blown out against the Buccaneers, who had Godwin and AB and all these other guys
playing.
They
came all the way back.
Yeah, they came all the way back running the ball. So if you mess around and think this is going to be an easy game, which a lot of people think is not going to be that close, Jalen Hurts and his legs can really open this thing up and give them an opportunity to win this game.
I hope so. I hope you're right, MJD. I really respect teams that have beaten quality opponents. You know, like the Titans have beaten a lot of good teams. I don't care that much that you haven't beaten good teams, because if you've just played pros every week and won, I'm trying not to hold that against teams. We're in the playoffs now. This is different. And that's how I would answer that. I'm looking at a game in Philadelphia 3 months ago, like, this is in Tampa. This is Brady going for his 8th Super Bowl. I feel like this is a different deal. And I know the nightmare scenario that opens this game is that the Bucs win the toss and defer. Philly starts with the ball on the 25. And it's run left, 0 yards. Run right, 2 yards. Incomplete pass, punt. Oh, crap. Like that to me, then Brady's up 3-0, then you punt again, then it's 10-0. Sirianni compares everything to a boxing match. Yeah. Like, I think that first round is huge. I think we're going to know about this game actually from the first Eagles series. And if Devin and Lamonte are saying, not today, my friends, and the run guys are running around and stuffing this, I think it could be a long day. I really do. If it happens, like I'm saying, and the Eagles aren't running early and they're punting and Brady gets up, then we're on a wing and a prayer that Jalen Hurts can become a superstar in the second half. And maybe he can, and I hope he can. But we did see this at one time. In this game, they were eventually down 28-7, and Hurts just had to kind of start. They threw 26 passes in the second half, and it just wasn't there. I don't think this is a week 6, week 5, week 12. I think this is playoffs. I think this is at Tampa Bay. And if they get down early, I don't think there's a team in the entire field that is more poorly built to come from behind. I think the first series for Philadelphia will tell us everything.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things. Okay, so when the schedules came out Sunday night, and it came out late Sunday night after halftime of the game that was going on between the Chargers and Raiders, I was surprised because here the NFL has 6 different windows, okay? You have your 2 Saturday windows. You've got your primetime Sunday window. They have a new primetime. They put Tom Brady at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. I was like, really? Like, Tom Brady, the defending champions. Like,
Peter, this is a great Schrager take.
But they're like, Tom Brady is at 1 o'clock on Sunday?
Why?
Like, you've got primetime. You've got the big CBS game at 4:30 with Nickelodeon and Amazon. 1 o'clock on Sunday, put Brady there. I think the world is thinking this is going to get ugly. Like, we don't want a blowout here. And I don't know if it's going to be pouring rain, all right? The Eagles, they run the ball.
Like that.
Yet, Brady is Brady. Uh-huh. His body is like a finely tuned machine, and I feel like it was built to play football at 1 p.m. Roll me out of bed and let's go. Then you think about the other elements that's got Brady going here. You know, here come the mighty Eagles with that run game and all that thing. Brady knows what time it is. There are only a few teams in this business that have gotten the best of them, and one of them are the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. And it was in a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And in that Super Bowl, we talk about how Foles got the best of Brady. Brady was electric.
Unstoppable.
Brady was amazing in that game. Let's not put that game on Brady. Like, Brady couldn't get the job done. This wasn't the Super Bowls against the Giants where he was getting knocked around. Brady had a field day, 505 and 3 touchdowns. If he got the ball one more time and Brandon Graham and Barnett don't come on that, who knows? Maybe they win.
But the Eagles ran the Philly special on the goal line.
They did.
That was very memorable.
My last point, though, and this is for everyone in that Philadelphia building, because Kyle, we've done Rudy with the flower. Kay, we have done the shrine to Nick Foles. Our show has had a lot of Eagles. Kyle, you do this cute little segment on Tuesdays, and we enjoy it, and it's the angry run, and it's for the toughest, baddest, meanest players. I don't know, man. Where are these Eagles at? Mm-hmm. Can I see the full screen of the winners of the angry runs
what is
this season? I don't see a single mighty, tough, big, bad ball. The Eagles are going to run the ball up your mouth, man. Eagles are going to shove it down your throat. Where are they at, Kyle?
I don't see any Eagles on there. I see some Cardinals.
Wow.
I see some Broncos.
Wow.
No Eagles. And all we talk about is 200 yards.
Number one run offense. They're so tough. You don't want to see Lane Johnson in a phone booth, bro.
Have you seen Kelsey? Is a beard.
He's so mean. Where are they, bro?
I can't even think of a nomination.
Is Boston Scott angry running on that show? I don't know.
This is a lot. What's going on?
I'm nervous. When you guys start talking like that, it makes me nervous.
You what?
Makes me nervous.
Why?
Because all of a sudden they hear this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they want to prove a point.
That's what's so interesting is that Peter of
I'm
all
I'm stirring
people,
a little pot here.
Peter of all people at this very table and the Eagles do not have the healthiest postseason.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Bulletin board material relationship. You are famous for the Preeter, Schrager, Brandon Graham bite. They played your face and your sound coming out of your mouth. Oh, you're part of the reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Doubting the Eagles has been a cottage industry for us at this show. And Kyle, if they're such an angry running team, why are they absent from the only segment on television that celebrates tough football and running the ball?
It is really striking that, like, if someone is such a good actress, isn't there an Academy Award nomination anywhere? Zero. And in the longest season of all time, we've never done more Eagles and not a single one.
There are 5 nominations a week. I don't think we've nominated an Eagles run.
I don't think we have either.
I don't know if it needs to be an angry run, though. They are a different team.
Good
so
point.
If you look at the field, talk to me, MJD. You're a running back.
Yeah.
Because what they do is so different. Defenses all year plan smaller, faster. They want to stop high-flying secondaries like the Cowboys and the Rams. At least this team is a tough matchup because they are built different.
Well, they're built different because their quarterback can run, right? If you look at it, how many running quarterbacks are in the playoffs? Kyler,
Dak used to
Josh
run.
Josh Allen.
Like, it just gives you, and I'm going to break down some Josh Allen to show you,
are you?
How different, yeah, later in the show, how different a running quarterback is. Because you have to account for him. Now you have to play 11-on-11 football. And if you miss a tackle,
yeah,
if you miss a gap, all of a sudden, these guys can be 60 yards down the field. And let's not forget, against the Saints, who had one of the top rushing defenses, Jalen Hurts went off for, what, three rushing touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be the difference in this game. Yeah, Tom, you can go and throw the ball and do all you want to. But if it's raining and these guys know where they're going and the defense doesn't know, they have to react.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You better wear those seven studs.
Because
It hurts to take off. And that's what scares me, is that he can run and they're willing to let him run. Some of these other teams, they don't.
And all last year, all I talked about is this Bucs run defense. Yeah. Are we saying that this year? When's the last time we said that? I know we have some numbers from Matt Hamilton later in the show showing what's going on with the run defense on the Bucs side that make it a little easier to believe what you're saying about that Eagles squad. All right, let's bring in Tom Pelissero now. Good morning to you. A lot of Eagles fans tweeting my friend Peter Schrager right now, I'm sure. But I got to ask you about a couple teams around the league who are looking for new general management. What is the latest with the Giants and the Vikings, of course.
I think I'm going to tweet Schrager. It's way too early for scalding hot Lane Johnson takes right now. Let's talk about the Vikings the Giants, two teams that blew up the leadership of their football operations. Both are going to need to hire a head coach, but they're both going to hire a general manager first and have that person lead the search for the coach. The Giants got a head start on Wednesday doing interviews with Bills assistant general manager Joe Shane, as well as Cardinals executive Adrian Wilson. The Giants interviews continue today. Meanwhile, the Vikings put out interview requests on Wednesday night. The initial round includes Patriots executive Elliot Wolf, Browns executives Glenn Cook and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, as well as Eagles executives Brandon Brown and Catherine Raich. Now, Raich is a notable name here. She is a former CFL and XFL executive, joined Philadelphia in 2019. She was promoted about a year ago to Vice President of Football Operations, making her the highest-ranking woman in personnel in the NFL. Okay.
Very cool to see. Thank you so much. And to hear Tom Pelissero talk to you in a little bit. Catherine Raich, very impressive at such a young age.
Yeah, and what's cool is that the person who she replaced is Andrew Berry, who's now the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. This is one of the rising talents in the league. She was an assistant general manager in the CFL, was brought over by Howie Roseman and those guys in Philadelphia. And not only does she scout players, but she also has an analytics bent as well. But a young, talented front office executive. And if you look at the path of the shoes that she's filling, Berry went in there as a young, talented, aspiring general manager candidate, interviewed with Cleveland, blew them away, got that job. Maybe Catherine could do the same for Minnesota. Pretty cool story in the NFL this week.
Very cool story. I'm catching up on her. She has a degree in law, and she has a master's in tax, which seems like an incredible thing to have as a general manager, front office type. In tax, that seems like a hell of a resume.
Pretty incredible. At GMFB, with thoughts, you've got more candidacy. We, of course, like seeing white hats, which is just something that should be normal. Coming up, James Slater gives us the latest on Cowboys Niners. We will discuss road teams and which have the best advantage up next. Super Wild Card Weekend quickly approaching. Our very own James Slater has all the latest on Sunday's renewed rivalry game between the Niners and the Cowboys.
Don't overcomplicate this thing. Don't change your behaviors. That's essentially been the message from Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy ahead of their game against the 49ers on Sunday. Now, it's been 5 years since Mike McCarthy has been to the postseason, something even he found a little shocking, but he did win his last two at AT&T Stadium. And in terms of the game plan, when you match up against the 49ers, he says you've got to start with what they're doing defensively up front. And he pointed to Nick Bosa. He said, just look at his quarterback hits, 32 to be exact, 15 and a half sacks. He also says offensively, this team wants to try and run the ball at least 30 attempts. When they do that, the Cowboys are 9-0 this season. They had 32 against the Eagles last weekend. But running the ball against the 49ers, a bit of a challenge. They have only allowed one 100-yard rusher in their last nine games. That team was Seattle. What helps them up front, of course, is getting guys back like left tackle Tyron Smith. He was activated off the COVID list on Wednesday. Joining him is linebacker Micah Parsons. That should help this team defensively.
Appreciate you, Jane. Later, Slater. The 49ers will be going into AT&T Stadium this weekend. Of course, anything possible. Things get more aggressive and fast-paced in the playoffs. Of the six games that we will have on Super Wild Card Weekend, two Saturday, three Sunday, one Monday night, what road team do you think has the best advantage and chance of advancing in the playoffs?
Oh, for me, it's the Niners. And it goes back to the history. I remember growing up in the Bay Area, seeing those Niner Cowboys games in the 90s.
The best.
Yeah. And the Niners are winning. I mean, when Deion came over, the Niners are winning. So that's all I remember, right? And so what brings me to this is, we talked about this yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers are a team. They don't lean on just one guy. You have George Kittle in the passing game, Deebo Samuel, who can run the ball and obviously play the ball, Ayuk, who's showing up big in big moments for the Niners. You have Eli Mitchell, and then that defense. They don't allow a 100-yard rusher. They stop the run, and they get after the quarterback. That is a recipe for winning in the playoffs. And so, for me, what they do travels, and it can be played anywhere at night, in Dallas, anywhere you'd like. It's just, to me, it's just the Niners. They're playing really well right now.
Mm. Yeah, Niners are might as well be the favorites the way the momentum is going right now after their game and how the Cowboys finished the season. I don't know what to make of the Raiders, but gosh, I wouldn't want to face them. They certainly aren't scared of anybody, I'll tell you that. A couple of weeks ago, we were on this show, and it was before they played the Monday night game against the Browns, and I said, if you lose this game, it might be time to just tear the whole thing down. Move on from Derek Carr, move on from Bisaccia, maybe even just blow the whole thing. They haven't lost since. Mm-hmm. They've been amazing, and they
blew the whole thing up.
I blew the whole thing up, and they blew it all up.
Tear it down.
That's maybe why I'm not involved in any of these personnel decisions. They've been so, like, us against the world that I don't care if it's the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Titans, whoever. Like, I don't want to face them. Like, I don't want to face them. And last week, they were down. They were up 15 points. They surrender that lead, and they go to overtime. They win that way, and it's almost like, all right, it's not house money so much, but it's also a little bit of, gosh, destiny is sure on our side. Things are really going our way. Thank you, Brandon Staley, for that timeout. Much appreciated. We'll take it. And, you know, Bengals, they haven't won a home playoff game since 1990. They've lost seven straight playoff games. Mm-hmm. Raiders have nothing to lose. I mean, they come in there, they win, we keep going. They lose. The Bengals, they've got to answer those questions. The Raiders, they have nothing to answer. So one of those, house money, us against the world.
Playing loose.
Playing loose. Yeah. Let's go.
That might be a popular upset pick. We'll find out tomorrow. I'm going to look at the Cardinals, and I'm going to look at the Rams. I like divisional opponents in the playoffs. I have doubts about Stafford, who's still trying to win his first playoff game. But we got to get to this. Veterans are one thing. A 37-year-old soccer dad is who the Rams signed before they go into the playoffs against the Cardinals. What is going on with the Eric Weddle story? Because everybody's reaction yesterday seemed to be, the beard is back, the beard. I know he has a beard, and I respect Weddle. It's a cool beard. He hasn't played in two seasons, and they just signed him to bring him in. Jordan Fuller gets hurt, their safety, and is this guy going to play? Because if he was coming in just to be a veteran and consult and everything, maybe you just bring him in, and, you know, he visits with some players, and he's a nice veteran, and you say, take him out to lunch. He's on the team. They signed him. So is Weddle going to be out there in meaningful snaps for the first time in 2 years at 37 years old in a playoff game?
I hope so.
If I'm the Cardinals, I think I'm hoping so, too. If I'm a fan, I like Weddle. But, like, that's weird, really weird. And I don't know what the plan is for McVay, and he's the genius and all that, and I respect it. But this is a very strange signing. If he's out there in meaningful third downs, that's
does it come off as desperate to you?
Yeah, yeah. Like, that. Of all the people out there in your organization, you got to bring Weddle? We love Weddle. No disrespect.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
And we could be laughing at this if he's eating that post-game sundae he always has.
Yeah, is he nice?
Sunday after a victory. Yeah. But I'm with you on the Cardinals, and I got some numbers to show you. I can't make sense of why, but I know that there's something here because it's that staggering. Take a look. The Cardinals have been way more comfortable on the road this season. They're 8-1 playing away from Arizona. They're averaging a touchdown more per game than they do at home, where they are 3-5. Remember, they beat the Rams in L.A. when they played them earlier this year. I don't know why this is. I don't know why they can't play at home. Like, Shelton, do you need to be there in the building in the desert?
It's in Los Angeles.
I don't know. But I will say this, too. This is also important. The Rams have not beaten a team with a winning record at home since the Bucs in week 3. They are 0-3 from that point on. They're not winning at home, and the Cardinals are not losing on the road.
Mm.
Weird. Why? How could you be 8-1 away from home?
I wonder if they're actually hoping for road playoff games if they win this one, like how it shakes out. Sometimes it's just their routine, the travel experience. Maybe the, mentally that's where they are. They like to travel and play.
Yeah, the whole story when they beat the Cowboys was Kyler never loses in Dallas. I was like, can he win in Arizona? And that would be great too. You know, maybe, but doesn't have to worry about it. They're not going to play a home game unless there's some crazy upsets in the next round.
Do they need to be too comfortable or something? This is why I don't believe in home field advantage. See?
I mean, some teams, like Kyle said, some teams are just comfortable. You have a routine. You don't have any distractions. You're on the road. The whole burn the boats mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like guys play.
I like that.
Bring one suit.
We'll see. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Playoffs are a big deal. Mm-hmm. Even for quarterbacks, we talk about it, but like, are these offensive linemen ready for this? Because here comes TJ Watt, and I don't think he cares about your PFF grade during the season.
Yeah, or Trey Smith, your great draft story and how you were taken in a huge value. We'll see if you show up under the bright lights at Arrowhead. I know somebody who I think might be ready. He's a fan favorite in his first year, joining us from the Steel City. 60 catches, guys. That is the most by a tight end since Heath Miller in 2015. Wow. We all know how much Big Ben loved throwing his way. And now he loves throwing in the direction of this young player getting ready for a playoff matchup in Kansas City. Say it with me, guys. Please welcome to the table Pittsburgh tight end Fryer. What's up, Pat?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're great. I know you're keeping it even keel. It's the morning. You got lots of going on. Big playoff game. But I want you to talk about what's in the rearview mirror. The regular season's over. You're in Steeler Nation. They love you. They're yelling moot. They're waving their terrible towels. It is an emotional year with everything going on with Big Ben and his future. Where do your feelings go when you think about these past 17 weeks, 18 weeks?
Yeah, it takes me back a long time. Obviously, just coming here OTAs after the draft and stuff like that. Just it's kind of weird it now being the end of the season and us getting ready for the playoffs. I think in OTAs, you know, they've obviously talked about, you know, making that playoff run and playoff push and stuff like that. And, you know, we were able to do that winning three of our last four. So, you know, it's awesome to kind of be at this point where, you know, the season's not done yet and we still have a couple more games, hopefully, to play.
Pat, week 18 was a roller coaster for you guys. Anytime you play Baltimore, we kind of know how that goes. But that game went into overtime, and you had a huge catch down the stretch that helped seal the game. This is the question. What was the mindset going into that game, and how aware were you guys what was going on in Jacksonville with the Jags beating the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely aware of that score. You know, we kept kind of looking up, and I remember me and the other tight end, Gentry, we were looking up at the scoreboard and saw it. Trevor Lawrence went for like 8 for 8 for a touchdown on the first drive. We were like, oh, damn. And so we kind of had to, you know, get going and, you know, we had to win that game because obviously we saw the Colts loss. So, you know, coming up big in that overtime and fourth quarter and stuff like that, you know, it was a big time for our organization to get into that playoff.
And yet it wasn't over. Pat, Sunday got nuts. It really did. As fans, as players, as human beings. So you go into the Sunday night, or it's Raiders, Chargers. Just don't tie. Just do anything other than tie. And yet, damn, it really looked like it was going to be a tie. And you guys, after partying and dancing and all this great stuff, might get eliminated by a tie. Your coach said he fell asleep during the game. Your thoughts on that? And what was your experience on Sunday night?
Yeah, you know, I went to bed when the Raiders were up 29-14, and I got a call from my sister waking me up, like, you see this game right now? I'm like, yeah, like, Raiders are going to win. And then, like, no, the Chargers are actually driving to the tie of the game. And then Justin Herbert decided to just convert every fourth down possible. Yeah, it was definitely stressful, but I'm happy that, you know, the Raiders ended up kicking that field goal and sending us into the playoffs.
It's the greatest timeout in Steelers history. It really is. And we were here the next morning and we were laughing about it, being like, imagine being a Steelers fan. Actually, imagine being a Steelers player. I can only imagine. Speaking of Steelers players, I'm going to go off script because I was watching the game Sunday and I'm listening to the game on the audio. And I know it's in Baltimore, but you still could hear the crowd. You mentioned Zach Gentry. This guy is 6'8". Now, Kyle and I will go out in public sometimes. People will come up to me and be like, hey, Kyle, I love the show. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. Zach is making catches, and the entire crowd is going, Muth! And they're just assuming that Zach is you and you are him. What is your reaction when they're doing Muth chants when 6'8", Big Ten, Zach Gentry is making catches at tight end?
It's hilarious. I mean, I remember the first time they did it. I think it was against the Browns or something like that. And he caught the ball, and we were switching personnel. So I was coming on the field, he was coming off, and he just looked at me and gave me like that kind of look where it's like, you got to be kidding me. but no, it's funny. It's funny to hear, and you know, he's one of my best friends on the team, so it's funny.
You're a lot of fun. We hope you have fun at Arrowhead. Stay warm, stay safe. Go crush it for that Steelers fan base in Big Ben. We'd like to see him stick around.
Yeah.
Yep, thank you guys.
NFL playoffs are here. It all kicks off with Super Wild Card Weekend. Action gets started with a Saturday doubleheader, a Sunday tripleheader, and for the first time ever, a wild card Monday night. You excited about that one, MJD?
Yep.
3 days, 6 games, one epic weekend. The road to Super Bowl 56, which is at SoFi. You excited about that, MJD?
Yep.
Starts here, Super Wild Card Weekend. Welcome to Good Morning Football. Hey, everybody, we got a big show, big guests, playoff picture, implications. Oh, yeah. Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandt, my name is Kay Adams, and Maurice Jones-Drew is joining us. Are you not here tomorrow?
I'm not here tomorrow.
Oh, this is your last day.
This is it.
Well, we're going to leave it all on the field. McLovin, right. It's time for the lead block.
Lead block.
Shall we take a trip to the AFC, my friend? Yes, we shall. It starts with a doubleheader on Saturday. Raiders at Bengals, then the nightcap Patriots going to Buffalo for round 3, taking on the Bills. Sunday night, the Steelers take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Steelers, including Pat Freiermuth, who joined our show today. Very cool. Tough draw for Pittsburgh, right? Let's be honest. Pretty sarcastic comments from Big Ben talking about his team's chances just yesterday.
You know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens. I mean, we're probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance. So let's just go in and play and have fun.
Awesome.
Big Ben playing the underdog card hard. It wasn't too long ago, week 16, that the Chiefs did dominate the Steelers. They put up 36 points in a hurry. The Steelers just 10 in that loss. So why will Sunday night's game on Super Wild Card Weekend turn out any different from that first matchup, which was not that long ago?
I know. I don't know if it will, but God, I love that quote.
It was pretty cool.
He's so loose. We've been waiting 18 years for him. He's usually pretty tight with the media.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're done. That's awesome, Ben. And I think that's exactly where I want him. But you know how how's it going to be different from last time? You know how the hot phrase right now is somebody's going to eat in this game. He's got to eat. Like, everybody's saying that. T.J. Watt has got to eat. He's got to eat. Like, because this is the thing. Last time they played against the Chiefs, T.J. Watt did not have a sack, okay? And this is a game where he has as many or more than any human being in history, did not have a sack, not even a half sack. In fact, T.J. Watt in 3 games against the Chiefs has never had a sack. So either Mahomes knows how to get away from him, or the Chiefs know how to scheme against him. T.J. Watt needs to eat in this game. I don't think they have a shot. Like, this, there's a couple things that have to happen for a very wild upset. Never mind keeping it close or they lost by 6. It's Pittsburgh. There's no keeping it close. You win the game or not. And I've been thinking about this. Something about Maurice said yesterday about what he needs to see from Najee Harris. This is my recipe for the Steelers winning the game. I think there's some non-negotiable ingredients in every single one that has to happen. From the top.
Oh, well.
I need 3 sacks. Not 2.5. 3. I also need 2 Chiefs turnovers. I don't care where they are. It could be fumbles. It could be interceptions.
We should get a bingo board going Sunday night and click these off.
No center question. Square. All right. I need a defensive score. I don't care who it's from, but these are all non-negotiable. If you miss one of these, you lose. Najee, 150 total yards. Successful trick play. Oh, you saw they tried a flea flicker. And then the bottom, most important. Ben, I just need 3 throws. 3 quality NFL throws.
3.
That's it. Like, I know he's going to attempt several passes. I need 3 that are like, oh, man, he hit the deep out on 3rd and 6 for 10 yards. Or he did the skinny post for 15. I don't want to push my luck. All I need is 3, and they're going to be on 3rd downs. If every single one of those is hit, I think Pittsburgh can win. In fact, they will win. If even one of them is missing, it's Casey. That's how stacked this thing is, and I think Ben knows it.
When Ben came into the league in 2005, he was this big quarterback with this big body, but it was basically, Ben, don't kill us. Don't hurt us. Rely on that guy behind you, number 36. Rely on Deuce Staley. And then after that, rely on Willie Parker. And then we got Hines Ward on that side, who's really good. And Randall L. is a good trick guy, and we can do things with him. and we've got the best offensive line in football, and let's just not and then give our defense a chance to make a play. Like, it's amazing that Ben came into the league like that and then had these amazing seasons of leading the league in passing yards.
Here we go.
He's going to go out of the league like he came in. And I think it's kind of cool that he gets this opportunity. And I know he's not. He's probably watching or he's hearing this. He's like, opportunity. I played in a million playoff games. I don't need your pity on my opportunity. Last year's playoff finish when they lost to the Browns was one of the worst playoff games you've ever seen from a quarterback. It just did not look like he belonged out there anymore. It looked like it was time to maybe move on. So much so that this offseason it was like, could Dwayne Haskins actually be the better quarterback in preseason? Like, we were having those conversations. I feel like this is the coolest deal for Ben. House money! Nothing to lose! This was a gift. When they lost to the Chiefs on week 16, they lost 36-10 and kind of put them away, and it was like, all right, the Steelers, Ben, it was cool, like whatever, he's going to have a home game next Monday night against the Browns, we'll celebrate that, and whatever, he'll do a lap around the field. They had a 9% chance of making the playoffs. That was 2 weeks ago. 9% chance.
Yeah, they are.
They needed 91% chance things to happen, and they all happened.
Yeah.
This is magical. This is house money. That's all I got. I don't have a bingo board. I don't have a way to stop
Mahomes.
Like
you said about the Raiders, it's like that looseness.
And this one for Ben, like, if there's any sentimentality out there for Ben, and there's, I feel like it's not the same thing when Eli was retiring or Peyton or all these guys, a different character, different guy in the league. But if there's any juice left for Ben Roethlisberger, go out of the league like you came in, hand the ball off, and let's live to fight another day.
I don't know if there's nothing to lose, though. Like, if they lose 41-3, like,
Marino lost 62-0 his last game. I don't think we talk about it.
And you still remember it. That's what I'm saying.
Guys, for me, it's like, you got to look at the other side. Kansas City didn't have Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill didn't have a big day. We've talked about that a ton.
Yeah.
And you still lost 36-10.
Yeah.
And like that's a problem, right? Because you're going to get all these guys back. And yes, Hill is a little banged up, but Travis Kelce plays a huge part in this. Let's remember who was the guy in this game was Byron Pringle, who's the one that was making most of the plays. To me, it's like,
it's a good move.
I love all the stuff about Pittsburgh, and I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. Loved what they're about. I think that's the way football should be played. But man, it's going to be tough to go into KC with them having all their weapons. Seems like Clyde Edwards-Helaire may be back. Like, all these different things to make it close. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how it happens. Prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough to – we were in Kansas City for a playoff game. It's not easy.
We had a great time, though.
We did have a great time. It's not easy down there to win. So, I don't know. It just kind of just like – I don't think anything will change. I think it'll be the same.
Najee isn't an X factor for you.
I love Najee.
Experience and pedigree, both sides. You have that going.
It is too much firepower for the Chiefs, right? They scored too quickly in too many different ways.
In your dream scenario, if they are to pull an upset, how does it even happen?
Well, I think the ingredients has to happen. Like, I wouldn't say a successful trick play, and like, but you have to score on defense.
Yes.
You have to put pressure on Mahomes and company. And even with that, we've seen the Houston Texans do it. We've seen other teams get these big leads, and they come roaring back, right? So I just don't know. Like, I don't – it's hard for me to visualize how that happens. Maybe Najee goes for 300. I don't know. Like, you have to run the ball and keep away and get some defensive scores.
I was going to say, time of possession sounds like a way to keep that offense
it's
on
the only way.
Their heated benches in Arrowhead. All right, we've got more Good Morning Football, of course, on the way. Welcome in Tom Pelissero to give us some updates around the league right now. Tom, thanks for joining us. Let's stick with the Steelers-Chiefs. The last time we saw Tyreek Hill, he was limping onto the field or on the field. So what would you say his status is for this weekend?
Okay, a good sign for the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill. Their star wide receiver was a full participant in practice on Wednesday. Hill played just 14 snaps last week against the Broncos after suffering a heel injury during pregame warmups. Coach Andy Reid said on Monday the Hill's heel was sore the next day, but he expected him to play this week. Being a full participant certainly is a positive as they move forward through the course this week. Meanwhile, running backs Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams both limited in practice on Wednesday because of their injuries. Reid said that those two looked good, as did Hill. They'll continue to monitor them leading up to Sunday against the Steelers.
Fantasy ahead of Super Wild Card Weekend, and I'll have some values for you. Then it is time for Fantasy Awards, honoring the players who changed the season, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. Welcome to the 2021 Fantasy Football Awards. Now, we gave out three yesterday. It was a lot of fun. And we've got three more to give out today. Let's get to it.
Let's go.
You guys can tweet us at GMFB. Our first award is... it's all about making a name for yourself, exploding onto the scene with a performance that people will talk about and no one will forget. Mm-hmm. This award goes to a fresh face, the best newcomer of 2021, a player that ran the gambit on the rest of the league. This is the Anya Taylor-Joy
Award.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And the nominees are...
beautiful picture.
Steelers running back Najee Harris, who put up over 1,600 yards. Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase, who, of course, broke Justin Jefferson's rookie receiving record. Guys, Dolphins receiver Jalen Waddle. I mean, who else could get Peter Schrager to waddle as often as he has? And he led all rookies in receptions, of course. And then Falcons tight end Kyle Pitts, who quietly did become the first rookie tight end to put up 1,000 yards since Mike Ditka.
Wow.
Thoughts?
I think Najee had the hardest job. I think that he had a lot on his shoulders. Ja'Marr was a fantastic, but I think Najee had a more degree of difficulty.
I have a hot take fantasy-wise here. Jalen Waddle was the most consistent week to week. Jalen Waddle did it every single week if you had him. Ja'Marr had some zeros. He had some twos.
He did.
And that week 17 game, over 266, most people who owned him did not get to benefit from that because they were out of their fantasy. I'm going Jalen.
It's well said. Jalen, first 5 weeks of the season,
quiet.
Quiet. He had not great games either. The winner, apparently, we're just going to put it out here. Who knew what's happening?
Najee!
We knew that was going to happen. It was from Antioch.
You have an
Najee
envelope?
Najee Harris!
That was what is it, Spotlight?
I agree with this. Was that your choice?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That's why we did that MJD. All right, he led all running backs. Leading all rookie running backs would have been cool. Every running back,
no,
he led
awesome.
The league in catches with 74, second in total yards, third in scoring. He also led all rookies in scoring with over 300 points on the year. So you can have your Mac Jones, you can have your big chase game. He had more fantasy points than any of them.
He also had two angry run receptors.
And you know what's annoying in fantasy, Kay? When you have the running back out there and you get that little minus 2 points for the fumble.
Yeah, like,
not him.
Not him! Yeah. That's honestly one of the more staggering and impressive stats from this whole season.
It's incredible.
Led the NFL in touches, right?
Yes.
Derek Carr's never played in a playoff game, and Najee didn't fumble. Those are sort of weird. All right, our next award is all about returning to form. Someone who was out of the fantasy headlines and put on a masterclass in the art of the bounce back when their team and fantasy owners needed them most. We love a rebound performance here on the show. We love a callback to a better time or a rebound relationship. This is the Bennifer Award.
Oh.
Bennifer 2.0, it is back. And there are four nominees, right? But three of the nominees are actually sitting right here in studio, guys.
What?
They are.
Ben?
First.
Oh, us?
Yes, they're right here. Our first nominee, Kyle Brandt, who bounced back from a wardrobe malfunction during his Angry Run segment back in October. Take a listen.
There was a Thursday nighter like 4 years ago, and it was the Jets versus the Bills, and we went to MetLife Stadium, and Josh McCown was the quarterback of the Jets at the time. We were down on the field. He comes over and he hugs Peter, and of all the things Josh McCown is saying, yo, Shregs, your fly is down. And it became this legendary moment.
Before a game,
he's in full pads and uniform and helmet.
With a color rush.
Yeah. And no one did that for me. Again.
I didn't see it.
Did you want him to, would you have wanted him to walk up to you? Because I was thinking Josh McCown on the field made his way to Peter.
You know, it kind of anything goes in that segment. Yeah. How about, Kyle, your fly is down.
Okay.
And then I would have pulled it up.
Yeah.
Kyle was up here. His fly was down. I saw it. I tried messaging it to Schrager. I was like, Schrager, bro code, help him out. Schrager was enamored by what you were saying, but you rebounded really well.
I really did. And you know what, Kay? It's possible we're not allowed to show that clip anymore.
Oh!
It might be indecent.
Maybe.
So that was the follow-up story.
You've also broken the scepter up here.
Yeah.
Almost passed out up here. What a rebound performance from our first nominee. Next up, Peter Schrager, who bounced back from mispronouncing a handful of player names.
Shout out to Odafe Owe out of Penn State. Odafe Owe. Odafe Owe. Odafe Owe. Odafe Owe. What a performance you had on Sunday night. Odafe Owe. Ravens PR just sent me a text.
Go on.
It's not Odafe, it's Odafe. 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 Odafe Owe.
Odafe Owe. Wow.
Odafe Owe.
I love your name. I'm going to say it right every single time on this show moving forward.
a positive attitude, bounce back performance, relentlessly kept saying it until he got it right. Can you say it?
Odafe Oe.
Yay! No, I think
he's not playing anymore.
He's done. Our next nominee for TJ, Bounce Back Award, our Bounce Back Player of the Year, Maurice Jones-Drew, who, as we all know, bounced back from a dropped pass and a near traumatic, tragedy-esque collision
got real.
With Scooter Man Scooter on the streets of New York City.
Oh, double. Wait, guys! The guy on a scooter. Jesus. Where's the safety?
Guy on a scooter.
How does the safety come in?
Guy on a scooter.
Throw me into the safety. That's the safety.
See, that ball almost took out that gentleman on a scooter. He ain't
London. He almost took me out, too. Good thing I still can see.
Out of breath.
Gentlemen.
Scooter Man, that was very dangerous, because if that ball hits the scooter, he face plants onto the New York pavement. Scooter Man, you're a legend. I want to find that person.
It was
I really do.
Bounce back. I want to take a look at the list of nominees for the Benefer Award. It's a good list for good measure. I have added Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, looking to get his first career playoff win on Monday night. And I'm going to say, because it was too hard to choose between you three, I love you so much, we're going to go with Matthew Stafford.
Nice. Nice job, Matt.
I give him a lot of grief on the show, but this was his best fantasy finish since 2016, 4,800 plus yards. His most since back in 2012. He's in Hollywood. It's very J-Lo and Ben vibed. And he's been out of the headlines. He was over. He was done. He was toast. He's had some good fantasy performances in the past. But 41 touchdowns, that ties a career high that goes back to 2011. So Matthew Stafford, pick sixes, pick schmixes. Yep. Great job for fantasy owners. What a value this year. All right, we saved the biggest award for last, gentlemen.
Go on.
It goes to the person who won the year, who gave us the biggest, most talked about, best performances on the biggest of stages. This award goes to a player who is loved by all fantasy owners and who lived their best life this 2021 season.
Let's go.
Some call it the MVP. We call it the Adele Award.
Let's go.
Adele, is anybody winning more than Adele?
Let's go, girl. Come on now.
Courtside, crushing. Maurice Jones-Drew emphatically, no.
No.
Nobody's winning better than she is. No. Here are the nominees for the Adele Award. Bills quarterback, Josh Allen. Colts running back, Jonathan Taylor, who won the 2021 NFL rushing title, of course, and got Louis Vuitton bags for his offensive line. It was all very cute. Rams receiver, Cooper Kupp, who was only 53 yards away from 2,000 receiving yards on the year, which would have broken, of course, Megatron's record all time. And Ravens tight end, Mark Andrews. What a stud. He led all tight ends in receiving yards. Thoughts?
Okay, it's only been 5 days. I still can't look at the Colts logo. As much as I love Taylor,
But he's also not universally liked because Titans fans hate it. They hated the MVP. Like, Adele is beloved by all. So who's that encompassing? Because they're all fantasy studs.
Mark Andrews, I mean, he was quarterback friendly. Like, no matter who the quarterback was, he was still putting up big numbers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Come on, this is a Cooper Kupp Award, right?
Come on, baby.
What are we doing?
I think. We literally could have made it the Cooper Kupp Award because he is just having his great of a year.
So it should be that next year, Cooper Kupp. He's Adele.
There he is.
Yeah.
He is Adele.
I mean, Oprah might show up to the Super Bowl. All those people that were at Adele's concert sitting there, Melissa McCarthy, they
Seth
might be
Rogan.
There. At SoFi, Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen.
Probably an in-stadium Super Bowl performance if they make it there. It all makes sense. He won this in a runaway. Schrager's right. He not only outscored everyone.
Wow, he's the highest scoring player?
Yes, over Josh Allen. Over
wow.
Nobody scored. Yeah. He outscored the next closest receiver, Devonta Adams, who's, I don't know, he's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
He's pretty good. By nearly 100 points.
Oh.
On his way to being the first receiver, Triple Crown winner since Steve Smith back in 2005. Honestly, Cooper Kupp is the man.
It's unbelievable.
And universally liked. Find me a person that like him.
I'm waiting for the Cooper Kupp brushback wave that's going to go, overrated, hack. It's going to come, but it's not here yet.
I don't hear any of that right now.
Not yet. How could you? How can you possibly say that?
I still haven't heard that for Adele. She's universal. It hasn't happened for Adele either, Kyle.
I wish you went up tempo a little
bit. Okay.
I wish you went up tempo a little more.
I served you up.
Give us a little more up tempo.
You know, just a remix. One remix wouldn't kill.
Yeah, that's okay.
When we were naming awards, we wanted to do for the disappointment the Saints of Newark Award, but I knew you'd have to.
That would have been fun.
You liked it.
I liked it.